Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Teresa, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon.
Oh, ma'am.
How are you?
Yes, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Lovely, thank you so much, man. Teresa, thank you for taking time, to join us. I do imagine that you must be having a busy schedule. We're going to be talking about early childhood education, which plays a big part in laying the foundation for a child's future academic development. It provides, of course, the necessary skills, knowledge, and experiences that will help the young children succeed in schools, and later in life. And so we're going to be exploring some teaching approaches used by educators for effective learning. And you, Teresa, you're going to be helping us in navigating this space. Now, do please share with us, ma'am, the differences or different strategies, rather, that are used in early childhood education and how they affect the learning outcomes.
Sure. In early childhood, it's a time when children naturally just want to play.
Mm.
So nowadays, the most popular method being used is play-based curriculum, where children have the ability to choose the activities they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
They are not forced to engage in activities. So play-based curriculum is basically children having fun, enjoying,
yep,
while learning something in the process. So this happens through singing, dress up, drawing, painting, coloring, and various games, some that are structured, some that are unstructured.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the basis of all learning for the children at this age. And there are also three other ways, the direct instruction, which is teacher-centered. Most of us who are my age, who went to school a long time ago, we all went through direct instruction, where the teacher would just stand up and tell us what they have in store for us. But the world is changing. We're learning that it's not the teacher who knows everything. So we're encouraging more child-centered ways of teaching children, where we're focusing on the children's interests.
Yeah.
So we also have inquiry-based, where children do research. And an example of a question would be something like, what do plants need to grow? And then you set up experiments and children get to discover this for themselves. And another one would be a project where you probably plant a garden. The children plant seeds and they see the results after some time, teaching children patience, commitment, and deep understanding. So when we're talking about child-centered methods of teaching, you have higher engagement. The children want to learn more. You're focusing more on their curiosity as opposed to just sitting passively and just listening to a teacher.
Yep. Now, are these strategies used independently of each other, or should they be implemented concurrently?
Well, teachers have different philosophies, personal philosophies.
Yeah, yeah.
So if a teacher thinks that they know, they will solely rely on direct instruction. But as you rightly asked, they must be used together.
Yeah.
Because children learn differently, with their different ways of learning, and children benefit from... for example, I'm not saying the direct instruction is bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it can help a teacher identify struggling students and help them immediately. It's faster, it's efficient. So it's not all bad, but it's good to have a mix of the methods used together to benefit a class or even a specific child. The children will benefit from both, or, yeah, the child-centered and teacher-centered methods of teaching.
Is there any approach that is then, in light of what you just said, that is, considered more effective than the other? Or would they just differ from child to child?
I think it depends on the age of the children, because if we're talking of children that are aged 3 to 4, play-based works best for them. they might not have the patience or the ability to grasp from other methods. But if they are playing and repeating games and, you know, games with rules, games without rules, that helps them more.
Yeah.
But the older children, maybe from 4 to 5, they might have the patience to actually focus on their garden project. I think the age has an effect on which method works best.
Now, tell me, would children then realize, especially in this, a game setup, because they're playing while they're learning, would they discover that in actual fact it's a lesson, or for them it's just a game and it ends there?
You know, it's so funny. When we interview children and we ask children, what did you learn today? They'll probably say nothing.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Children are learning. That's so true.
That's what I'm thinking.
But children are learning all the time. For example, from birth, when mom talks to baby, baby's already starting to learn language, but the baby is not aware that they're being exposed to language.
I see.
So they're learning without realizing. So parents must not get upset when children say, oh no, I didn't learn anything.
Because I'm actually trying to think that as a, you know, if they get to gaming and in that gaming learning environment, and now the parent wants to know, and the child simply says, no, nothing, I just had a good game. It may actually be very upsetting.
Yes, this is why now with education, teachers are taking pictures and putting them on online for parents to view their child at school, either in a costume, dressing up, building stuff, playing in the sandpit. This gives the parent proof that, oh, okay, my child was doing this today.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the child might not be reliable.
Exactly.
Might not be a reliable informant at this time.
Now, you know, you're mentioning technology there as I let you go. You're mentioning technology, you know, the parents being able to log in and check out what the children and how the children are doing,
yes,
as it were, live. Now, we've also learned that introduction of AI in teaching is now becoming a thing, I think, with London being the first, place where robots now, instead of teachers, are going into classes. And, of course, they've now taught the robots, that is, to be able to assess children individually, etc. Do you think this thing will also work with early childhood education?
With early childhood, maybe eventually in the near future. I mean, our world is changing so quickly. But with early childhood, the main concern that we have is well-being, the well-being of a child, which is why we focus on play-based curriculum. So I'm not sure if the robot will be able to detect that, okay, today this child is acting differently, or today this child is a bit withdrawn, which is a human touch. A robot, I'm not sure if a robot will be able to correctly detect how a child is feeling on a particular day to give feedback to the parents. So I'm not sure. I don't think we're easily replaceable.
Yeah, true.
In the early childhood sector.
Well, beautiful man. So what is the most important point that parents should look out for, especially those who have toddlers, little ones who are now exposed to education for the first time? Others are, this season are going to school, or education rather, for the very first time. What's the most important thing that a mom or dad should expect from this phase?
I'll always say, look out for the child's well-being. If the child goes to school and they're happy, then that's good. If the child is not happy, then do your investigation or change the school. But yes, the child's well-being is number one.
Beautiful. Well, Teresai Chikudu, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Blessings to you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Fantastic.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.